Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to understand the amazing love, that I just have to receive it. I have to give you praise for it, and I want to. We exalt you in this place today, Lord. I thank you that the songs that you led us in today will lead us into to the Word, to the study of your amazing love and the results. We love you, Lord. We exalt you in word, thought, and deed this morning. The rest of this service, Lord, let it be dedicated to you, your glory, your honor, and truth, so that we leave here changed. In Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Y'all may be seated. I want you to be prepared to play at least one of those songs again at the end. We will sing again. Praise the Lord. Can you go? Yeah, if you will. Okay, while we're continuing, I want to keep pushing because there's a chance I might be long-winded today. Hope not. If you need a offering envelope, raise your hands. A cash offering envelope, raise your hands. And if there are any announcements, you can think on those quickly. Praise the Lord. Jonathan, why don't you come here for a second? Why don't you hand one of those per family? And yeah, if there's any left over, we'll... I don't need one. I got it on my computer. While y'all are making out your checks, this is to keep us from going too long today. And it's an assignment. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time reading scriptures today. It would take too long. But if you will, you can take those home and research them. I still think it's a great study. I think I've given it to you before. I'm not going to preach that again today, but I want you to... We need to remember. Communion is remembrance, correct? It's also fellowship. And when you open these words up, when you do the research, God can enlighten you in what's really going on. Amen? All right, you guys, are you? Anybody else need one? I think we have a couple left over. If you got one left over, you can give it to Connie. She didn't get one. She's not allowed in my computer. What you need? All right, plug that in at the bottom. There you go. I'll lay it over there for her.
Just a couple of quick announcements. Remember that Patrick and Donna are out on their little vacation, and keep them in your prayers. A much-needed vacation. And also, it's good to have Desiree with us, and the girls.
Amen.
And, you know, last week I didn't make mention of it, but it was good to have Joanna up here helping with the praise and worship. And it was a blessing today for Desiree to lead us in praise and worship. Thanks, Chuck and Bill, and let's see, who else? Joanna, whoever else was here. Richard, to set up early. In the absence of Patrick, this is quite an ordeal to get set up. I think Chuck could probably roll out and frame a house quicker than we can get set up with. But we did good this morning. Anyway, praise God for that. Thank you for coming early, Chuck. Also, let's see. I think most, I've talked to most people, and I think most everybody's going to their separate homes today. So I don't think that anybody's going to gather together at a restaurant. But let's see, there's something else I can seem like. Help me out here. Sometime this week, Stan and I are going to meet with a guy that specializes in churches. He is a Texan. Praise the Lord.
He
so, anyway, he's going to help us look for a building. I told him, I said, you know, I said, we're not looking for stained glass, and we're not looking for cathedral ceilings. We want a place where we can meet as a body and serve the Lord. And he said, well, are you Christian? I go, well, yeah. Well, he had been to the Scientology church, and so he was really trying to fish out what kind of church we were. And so, anyway, so be praying about that. Be praying that he's going to direct us to the right place. I know we've been making some phone calls, and some of the places that we've called on are maybe seem like out of our reach. But you know what? We're going to go where God wants us to go. And God will provide whatever that may be. Amen?
Amen.
Richard? Okay.
Remember him. All right. You gentlemen want to come forward and we can receive God's tithes and our offerings to him.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right. Father, we do consecrate not only ourselves, but the things that you've blessed us with this morning. As we give, let's invoke scripture that God promises to give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Not so much for our glory, but for yours, Lord. For yours, let it be established. We need, in the kingdom of God, tremendous finances to retake the world. We want to say we want to do our part now in Jesus' name. Therefore, we give so that you can bless us to do this very thing. We say that in Jesus' name with full faith. Amen. Jonathan, one more time. Now, since I'm going to do my normal thing today, which is probably give you about four or five sermons in one, I'm going to give you notes this time so that you don't have to spend so much time trying to take notes. Believe it or not, they're fairly orderly. Oh, you got the wrong one. What have you got? Well, evidently, you got a cop. You got a message, or two of the same.
No.
Okay. I don't know what this one fits. You picked it up, probably. Okay, she didn't get one. If she didn't get one, I actually gave you two. Anyway. Oh, there's two there. Anybody else need one? Bill, did you get one? Okay. All right. This is what my message usually looks like to me. Maybe not quite so orderly. But therefore, your notes should look just like this, correct? All righty. I was very much touched by the first song that we sang this morning. Because you need to remember, I am prepared with a word from the Lord, and then the music comes with the same word. Okay, we know what this Sunday we're supposed to celebrate. We got the tape running? Okay. And I was blessed early this morning when the sun came out and it just It was a beautiful morning. Last night began with a beautiful moon, and this morning is glorious. As the way it always is when we're resurrected in Christ Jesus, but today we're honoring that. I want to... I'm trying to get this out. Flesh does strange things. And one other thing it does is takes away from the understanding of what God does. Flesh is nearly like a cloudy, dirty screen that keeps us from understanding the full power and ramification of what Jesus did, what God did. And so we're going to go over the practical, simple things of what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection. Today we're supposed to be honoring the resurrection. I gave you paperwork that would lead you into the study of the week before and the 40 days after this time to show you that it's not, God never does anything just real simple. He covers a lot of territory. And so when he gives me a word, he tries to get me to cover a lot of territory in just a few minutes. But we need to remember, if I'm bringing you bread this morning and you're depending upon it for 1 week, I need to give you 7 meals in one message. Hopefully it doesn't take that long. Okay. I want to put the death, burial, and resurrection into a perspective, hopefully, that will become more real to us, have more feet to it. I want to foundationalize and teach and maybe even tear down a few aspects or understandings. But for now, rather than, if you want to put notes on this paperwork that I hand you, that's fine, but don't spend a lot of time taking notes. They're already done for you. All right, are we ready? All right. God showed me, beginning in about midweek, a picture. And there's been things going on, not only in here, but out of here that have helped me bring me real nose tight to how free we are and how privileged we are and how no one has the right to try to put a corner on that, number one, or spiritualize it out of us, number two. Let me do something strange. Let me start at the back since you have the back. And I want to look at one of these scriptures. Look at the back page, 4:4, and look at 1 John 2:21. I'm going to read that to you now. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Now listen to me carefully. I don't care who calls themselves blessed. The only liars, the one true liar on the face of this earth, are those that deny that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Messiah. He is Antichrist, that person that doesn't believe Jesus is the Messiah. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. In case you've been tippy-toeing with certain people. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised to us, eternal life. Now, let's keep moving. Here's the picture. I'm not going to provide scripture for everybody, all of this. You understand and know these scriptures. We're doing a review. The first Adam... Everybody know what the first Adam is? That's not just a man. That's mankind. That's what God is explaining to me. The first Adam is Adam, my calendar, Adam to Jesus. And every person that existed during that time. Okay? Because by sin, one man brought that in. By deliverance, purification, one man brought that in. The second Adam. Okay? First Adam delivered to us, and we walked in this sin, death, and destruction. Okay? God created the first Adam, our mankind. God birthed that man from dirt. Why? Do you ever think about why? It's because the earth was pure. The earth was as pure as the Spirit of God. Now we think earth has sin in it. Well, it's only there because man delivered it, not because God created sin in the earth. So man was created from purity, the dust of the earth. All right? And during that creation, God gave Adam and all of mankind dominion. Now remember? They had perfect, pure fellowship with God. Mankind, Adam, depends on how you believe, or man, Adam was standing alone, or he created a race of man. I don't care. During that time, man was given, ordered to have dominion. Let me say that again. We always say he was given dominion. No, he was ordered to have dominion. He didn't have a choice in the matter. Because he was given the earth to keep, to cultivate, to eat off of, to live off of, all pure. Y'all catching up with that? It's really not that complicated, but it's not exactly how we look at things. They had pure fellowship with God because they were walking in purity with God, the cool of the day we refer to. Now, I want to remind you that through great study, I have come to the conclusion that earth is heaven. It is heaven. It's just not exactly pure right now. And it will be. Those things that are pure are still hidden. That's what the Bible says. We see with flesh eyes. One day we will see with spirit eyes. The New Jerusalem is coming down, the Bible says. It doesn't say we're going up. It said we'll be caught away in the Spirit. And we walked in the garden with God, earth being Eden. Okay? All pure, all great. No thorns, no hot, cold, none of that. Nothing that causes death. There was no death. We had no enemies. Why are you going through this? Because we're going to return to that. That's what we sang about this morning. The second Adam ushered in this very same thing again. The world was theirs for the keeping. B. Adam sinned and gave all this up for sensual things. It was sensualism, not spiritualism, that led mankind into a fall. Why did God say, that's beautiful fruit. Ooh, it smells good. I bet it tastes good. That's sensualism. The Spirit of the living God leads us into understanding, not by law, but by love. Law never gives you understanding. It gives you death. Love gives you understanding. Number one, the first Adam, or man, gave up dominion. Lost fellowship with God. And took law instead of life. You understand that? Now we're talking about from Adam to Jesus. Man constantly turned more and more into law and further away from God. Until the point where at one point God had to destroy the earth except for another Adam, a seed man, and continue on. At one point later on, God said the laws of God are negated by the traditions of men. In other words, the laws of God are negated by the laws of men. So they were turning more and more away from God, and the spirit of the God was gone. The Spirit of God only visited upon certain men for certain work, for certain information. They received enemies unto themselves through sin. I thought about that this morning. Do you understand that sin causes you to have enemies? And the problem is sin causes you to have enemies that are bigger than you. Because you're not casting your cares upon Him. He cannot care for you. That's what sin does. That's why we read that scripture that when you see someone in sin, begin to mourn because you know they're going to be taken away. There seemed like their job and their destiny now was to wander around through the world dodging enemies. Once in a while, God would do a miraculous thing, have all their enemies destroyed or whatever. But it seemed like in the meantime, they were always under some kind of oppression. It's called sin. Sin causes oppression. See, here's something that we need to remember, that the minute man sinned, God devised another plan. His plan was for us, actually that's a wrong way to say it. His plan was for us to walk in health, dominion, purity, peace, joy, fellowship with Him all the time. The minute man sinned, that was removed. Distance was put in. God says, wait a minute, I created them for fellowship. I've got to create plan B to get them back to plan A. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Plan B for plan A. I want to get them back there. So here we go. God had to revise His plan for man, which at that time sin was created, Jesus was destined to be the second Adam. Now how do we know that? Because all the prophecy that was spoken in the Old Testament about Jesus. Right? Jesus wasn't a plan 2,000 years ago or so. He was a plan from the beginning of sin. Part of the plan was that there had to be sacrifices offered up. Why? Why in the world would God require sacrifices? Prophecy, right? You're getting a glimpse of what is to come. It wouldn't be right for God to give His only begotten Son as a sacrifice and not have mankind understand how much it costs. So the order was given, for your sins, you must pay. But death is the only payment. Do you understand that? Death is the only payment for sin. So God's grace and mercy came, was revealed to man by saying, we don't have to die, we have to take our costliest thing and kill it. For you that have never farmed, you understand that your seed is your costliest thing. And when you take your perfect animal, the best animal you have, and you destroy it, you destroy your future. You lose your seed. So that is a very, very, very costly thing for mankind to do. Now, I don't understand of all the... It gets muddled when man gets involved. But I can tell you, God commanded that pretty much once a year and every time you've sinned and you shouldn't have. Does that make sense? Where there's a thing going on and it requires something of God or something from you, it had to be a sacrifice. Then man entered into all kinds of laws dealing with sacrifice, and you get confused if you try to understand all of that. I think God got confused and just said, here's the perfect one, let's don't do that anymore. You guys are getting me confused. A sacrifice. Perfect blood must be spilled, a perfect lamb must die, and it must cost the best available or much. Number two, the future last sacrificed must be protected through a people by bloodline, thus God's people. Now, did that sound confusing to you? Sometimes when you're looking at little short notes, it doesn't help. But what God said was that I've already planned Jesus. I see His seed carried through many generations. And I'm going to work with those people that are carrying that seed very special, so I'll call you special people. Not that you're special, it's just that you're going to take a lot of work. I've got to carry this through to Jesus. Come on. It helps you to understand this. God did not pick a people because they were pretty, or because they were smart, or because they were so religious. He picked them because they were carrying the blood of Jesus, the seed of Jesus. And He had to work that through sin and saint. Through sinner and saint, He had to protect that because that final sacrifice had to come forth. Does that make sense to you? It helps us to understand right now that my salvation is not just for me. It's for generations to come. Whatever I do here is for generations to come. It gets my eyes off of how important I am, but it's more important the job that I'm doing. In the old covenant, if the people of God would have just understood that their important position was to carry the seed of Jesus, maybe they wouldn't have thought so highly of themselves. Maybe they wouldn't today if they understood that. Number three, a future in the Spirit was given through covenant or law. You understand that? Your future was sealed by the old covenant. It's the only way you could have been birthed into Jesus Christ. It's for that old covenant to tell those people how to operate. Does that make sense? If it doesn't make sense, yell at me. We have an old covenant. The Bible says that wasn't done away with. It was just made better. It involved law. And that covenant and that law brought us to the point of Jesus Christ. Delivered you and I into the new covenant. And for technicalities, all of those that died from Adam to Jesus were ministered to by Jesus so that they could move from the old covenant into the new. He went back to a holding place of death and ministered to those that had never heard the gospel. That's biblical. So it wasn't just for you, it's for the entire humanity. Did I lose anybody in that? The Bible says that Jesus ministered to all of those that had not heard the gospel. So even the people that were raised and died in the old covenant heard about the new and had a choice to make. Now that's grace. Now that's grace. You don't think God's not full of grace. You don't think Jesus is not full of grace. That's grace. D. Jesus. Maybe this will go faster than I think. Maybe I can preach my second message. Jesus, second Adam. Now, why did I call him second Adam? Because that's what the Bible calls him. God birthed this Adam by the Spirit. Why? Because the earth was no longer pure. He's not going to pull Jesus out of the dirt. Not going to happen. When Jesus was born, birthed by God and by the Spirit, the beginning of restoration began. He was not restoration yet. The birth of Jesus Christ, even though it gives us a Merry Christmas celebration, was not the fulfillment of restoration. But it was the beginning. Number two, taught new law or new covenant for all, but not for the few. You understand the old covenant taught covenant for the few? But when Jesus was born and he began to teach, he taught covenant for all. That's why it did not negate covenant. It made it better. The covenant of God, if you'll study the old covenant, you'll get blessed if you remember that it was opened up to all. You don't want it done away with. If you're smart, you don't want the old covenant done away with. To stay in the old covenant, you had to provide sacrifices. That's the only negative thing about the old covenant. I mean, the promises of God, my goodness, in the Old Testament are tremendous. But the New Testament moved us in to all the things that the Old Covenant gave us, but it eliminated the costly sacrifices from us on a constant basis. Jesus took care of that. By the way, no longer law, but by the Spirit. Number three, God did not need to protect bloodline through the chosen. You understand we don't need another Jesus? So from the minute, man, I wish I could scream this from the housetop. The minute Jesus was born, we didn't need God's chosen anymore. We became God's chosen. The whole world. I choose that no one should die, but everybody should have eternal life. That's the new covenant. For God so loved who? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son. It wasn't just Jesus speaking, it was God speaking also. There ain't no privileged characters anymore. God is not a respecter of persons. Number three. Yeah, that was number three. Blood was here. God no longer needed to protect blood because blood was here. Come on, y'all ought to get a little excited about that. Blood was here. Number four, he walked the walk and talked the talk. He did not sin. Do you understand that all of God's chosen leaders from Adam to now sinned? Part of the old covenant. God never expected them to do anything else. That's what the expensive sacrifices were about. But all of a sudden, blood was here. No sin in the blood. Birth by the Spirit with no sin. Here comes the good sacrifice. What does that mean? That means the one that's going to take effect permanently. None of this kill, spill, wash. Kill, spill, wash. No more. Number five, here's his walk. No more sensual walk. You're offered a spiritual walk. The reason they constantly sinned in the Old Testament is Adam was their pattern. Sensual, all flesh, whatever the flesh wanted. One minute they're worshiping God, the next minute they're building idols. All right, E. Jesus planned death. Are you hearing me? We sometimes forget the fact that the death of Jesus was planned at the death of the spiritual man, Adam. That's when the death of Jesus Christ was planned. Don't ask me why God took all that time to do it. Don't ask me questions that you nor I will ever have an answer for. If we have all the answers, we're God. We don't need Him. He'll keep us in a position where we're full of questions. Why? Because we're going to have to learn to trust Him. Jesus planned death, number one. God's plan, it's not an accident. Not an accident. Jesus was not an accident. The men that killed Jesus were planned. They didn't just show up and it happened. The people that were at the foot of the cross or at the trial said, "Let His blood be on us, our children, and our children's children." It was a plan. Why? It was to eliminate God's chosen people. It was to open the door for all people. And you, how does that work? That means from now on, if they don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, they're eternally cursed. They're going to be persecuted all the days of their lives. All the history, they'll be persecuted. How do you get on away from that? Jesus. Anybody. Everybody. Jesus. No more curses. No more blood on us, our children. You're eliminated from all curses. A. Perfect sacrifice paid by spilled blood and perfect death of pure lamb. What are you talking about, Stan? It was a plan. It was a plan. You hearing me? The perfect death, the spilled perfect blood was a plan of God. Why? Well, so that Mel Gibson could make the movie. Well, that's how short-sighted we get sometimes. And a little side note, I turned on Fox News this morning and I thought I was in church. You don't believe what those people were saying on a news program. I was blown away. They were talking about redemption. They were talking about the blood of Jesus. There's a guy writing a book about the reactions from Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. How many people have been saved, born again, filled with the Spirit? They're using these terms on news. That was amazing to me. I made them listen to this. Sounds like church. A lot better than TBN. A lot better than TBN. This is real. Don't have some scarecrow. Never mind. I'm out of here. I mean, it's real life. That's what I'm trying to say. These are real people experiencing real things. Not in some golden cubicle that never touched life. One thing I can't stand about ministry You got somebody that don't know anything about life trying to tell you what life is. Being. The cost was enough in God's eyes. Now, why'd you put that in there, Stan? Because up till now, there was nothing pure enough, nothing good enough. It never met the criteria of God. All of a sudden, after 33 years, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, Jesus lived a life that proved he was pure. That's why I'm into holiness. I don't believe in bouncing all over. Christians that really give their heart to God don't fall down every 5 seconds. It doesn't happen. They've never given their heart to God if they're still a little adultery here, a little lie there, a little steal there. No, 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 no. That wasn't Jesus. And you're not in the life of Christ if that's your life. See, all history was washed away. Come on, let's get a little reality in our lives now. If we don't believe this, we can't believe that our sins are totally washed away. All history was washed away. Only the promises of God remained. Now you listen to me. Listen to me carefully, what I'm trying to tell you. History of a chosen people was washed away. The covenant of God was left. Come on. You don't know how important I'm saying to you. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm giving you a promise. I'm giving you a promise that I started last week, which was there is no subservient child of God. There is no one echelon below child of God. If there is a God's chosen people, you're it.
That's right.
If there's not, you will be it. Yeah. Because history don't count anymore. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, they did. Yes. That's right. No more than Adam was destined to sin. Sure. You know, it's what she said was, I've been taught all my life that all men are sinners. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Well, the mirror that we look through darkly, that Paul wrote about, if you'll study that, that's evolution. I don't mean evolution like science talks about it, which they don't know squat. It's evolution as God looks at it. That means you begin thinking like you're thinking. That I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. I'm blah, 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 blah. But the more you look through or to the blood of Jesus, you look through and see a more pure, Christ-like being. That's all that means. Well, you cannot be a sinner and be washed by the blood. I don't care who teaches what. It's not possible. Now my dad didn't believe was saved, he couldn't sin. I'm sorry, he was wrong. And I had to study myself to show myself approved of that. I didn't say he couldn't. See, I don't agree with one word. He could not sin. That's what he believed. You could not sin because that's what he was taught. That's not true. That's not true. You can sin. Adam was in perfect, pure fellowship with God, and he sinned. And what happened when he sinned? Fellowship was gone. He fell. Sin entered into him and the earth. Now, what people are trying to tell you is that since you're still born flesh, that flesh has a tendency, for a lack of a better phrase, has a tendency to sin, a bent to sin. There's all kind of religious terms. In other words, if your flesh can make up its own mind, it's going to do dumb things. It's going to do wrong things. And Christians make a mistake understanding the difference between sin unto death and sin that's not unto death. Very difficult. So I'm not even going to call sin that's not unto death sin. If you look up that word in the Bible, it means miss the mark. I got a question for you for next week. All right? Well, in this very vein that we're talking about, Judas sinned. Peter denied God, or denied Christ, both sinned. One was unto death, one wasn't. What's the difference? Why did Peter go on and Judas die? If you've got a quick answer, it's probably going to be wrong. Because I've been fighting this one for 2 days. The question, even 3 o'clock this morning, what's the difference, God? What's the difference, God? Tell me what the difference is. Well, next week we'll know. Next week we'll know. But I can tell you that we're not the judge of the difference between sin unto death and sin, or missing the mark. We're not the judge. And only God knows that. And so I'll answer your question this. Only God knows when you sin unto death. Now, you are not a sinner. If you want to stoop and say, I'm a sinner saved by grace, then you go ahead and be a forever Alcoholic Anonymous person. But I'm not one of those. I'm not going to get over alcoholism for 20 years and still call myself an alcoholic. That's a fool. I may understand that I have a bent to alcohol. So how do I take care of that? I stay away from alcohol. Well, that's a real wisdom. I mean, I bet you I could ask Mackenzie that. She'd come up with the right answer. But Christians want to theologize it and turn it into something complicated. And I can just make a little simple analogy. If I'm an alcoholic, and I know that, and somehow I slip and get back and I quit again, that's not a sin unto death. That was missing the mark. But I'm going to tell you, if it keeps happening, it's going to turn sin unto death. Because you're not trying hard. You're not casting your cares upon Him. You're not trusting God. The cost was enough in God's eyes. All history, see, all history was washed away. The death sentence on man, the limited covenant with a few, was changed to include all as chosen. Now future to all that would accept Jesus. The old covenant was chosen people. You know how I know this to be a fact, guys? Because you can look at God's chosen people, and when God was working through His chosen people, others were added that weren't chosen. They got into the camp and they went with the people. That's why, you know, even in the Old Testament, there wasn't a barrier up. For us to propagate the idea of a chosen people, we would have to say that the church are the only people that are going to make it. Well, what do we need a church for then? Wouldn't it be neat if we could put a sign up there saying no sinners allowed? That's what, if you went with the theory of God's chosen people, that's what you'd have to do. Once you're born again, you'd have to put a sign up there, no sinners allowed. That's not what happened in the Old Testament. It's not what happens now. In the great Exodus, I guarantee you that many of those people that saw the miracles of God joined those people. It's historical. It's in your Bible. And ask God's chosen people about that and see what they say. Won't work. Won't work. One of the greatest teaching things that I had, a lady that was sincere about God came in one day and said, Stan, I'm not going to be able to come to your Bible study anymore. I've got to become a Jew. Well, how do you do that? That's what I said. How do you do that? You know what her answer was? These are Jewish people that told them. You've got to go back in your ancestry and find out where there's some Jewish blood in you. Now, do you understand what you're saying? You're saying if there's no Jewish blood in you, you can't be in heaven. What a crock! God wasn't a Jew. Or if He was, and I'm carrying His blood, then I am.
That's right.
And so there's no chosen people.
Right.
You know, it's neat to have some common sense.
Yes.
I'm glad that I don't fall for every hook, line, and sinker. The Bible says every wind of doctrine.
Right.
There's only one doctrine, and that's what God says. That's what Jesus
right.
did.
Right.
Anything that comes against that, and by the way, the only way that you can be a chosen people is to eliminate the New Testament. You need to understand that. Anybody that proclaims Judaism has to eliminate the New Testament and has to eliminate all the prophecy about Jesus or has to say Jesus hasn't come yet. And that's what they do. The Messiah has not come. Well, I just read to you what God says about that. That's a lie. And I don't hang with liars. D, very important. Jesus owed us nothing. I get tired of people talking about Jesus just died for me. Oh, no. He personalized it saying, this is for you. But I can promise you, if you don't take it, there'll be another one that's saying it. Jesus owed us nothing. It was a free gift, not tied to man's bloodline. So that don't make any difference what color you were. Doesn't make any difference where you were born or who you were born to. Jesus said it's for you. Then he said to his chosen people, and it's not for you if you don't accept me as Messiah. And you'll never get to the Father except through me. You know this is obvious in the Bible, don't you? How do we miss it? He paid our debt of death and destruction. He paid our debt of death and destruction. A debt that we had no ability to pay. We could only make interest payments. That's what the sacrifice of bulls and goats was. It was interest payments to keep the foreclosure on your body from being in place. If you didn't make those interest payments, you died forever. Once and for all. Number two, Jesus taught us obedience. No longer a chosen few for a chosen few, but for all. Do you understand what the chosen few were about? For the chosen few. That's what the whole idea of the chosen few is. It's just for us. You guys stay out. And my kids, they're the chosen few, but your kids can't be, so you stay out. And kids, you need to understand, when you have kids, that's for the chosen few, and they got to stay out. Boy, it takes a lot of intelligence to be selfish, doesn't it? Might as well be little Hitlers saying we're just going to make the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, the special generation. And everybody else just gets everything cut off. Come on, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. That means you're supposed to have an intelligent way to put down the lies of the Antichrist. And I just found it very interesting that the New Testament called anybody that didn't believe in Jesus Antichrist. What a simple terminology. If you don't accept Jesus as the Messiah, you're Antichrist. What does the Bible say about the Antichrist? You're not going to heaven. The same person that wrote one wrote the other. I don't know if this tape should go out. B, spirit birth was better than flesh bloodline. That's what the New Testament teaches. That your spiritual birth is much more important than your flesh bloodline. In fact, it says to you that your orders, mister, is to forsake your mother and father. Ma'am, you are to forsake your mother and father's bloodline and cleave to the one you're now birthed into. So now, what would I rather have, the Jewish bloodline or the chosen people bloodline or the God bloodline? Which one would I rather have? See, I need to recommend to all of those that think they've already made it that there's a better made it. I've already made it. Don't you tell me that. I'm the one that's made it. I made it right here with no sacrifices and none of your goofy laws. When I was a little boy, my uncle one time, they talked about going to Jerusalem or to wherever, Israel. And he said to me, I'd rather be 10 minutes where God is than a lifetime where he was. Amen. The lights go on. I don't want to go where he was because he ain't there no more. Now he's here.
Yeah.
And I don't have to go listen to the crap that you have to listen to get to where he was. The tour guides and the money, man. Can you imagine? We got more ideas. Pay all this money and you get to see where he was. And maybe I can let you touch me because I'm one of him. No, we have the right to say that. They don't. The state doesn't. Whatever that is. I mean, you got to get a hold of the freedom that we're in, the privilege that we're in. F. Now we're moving from his birth to his burial. Jesus' burial. Jesus didn't just take his own flesh to the grave. He took all flesh to the grave. Now you can say amen. He took all flesh to the grave. He took all sin to the grave. He took all death to the grave. He gave it back to earth and back to Satan. By taking it in a hole in the dirt, he gave it back. Satan, you value this? Here, it's yours. I just took it on my shoulders, and now I'm bringing it back to you. What's the deal? Well, my people don't have to anymore. My people don't have to anymore. So your grave is no longer your shelter. It's no longer a place to end up because it's already ended. Come on, the Bible says, death, where's your sting? Grave? I ain't afraid of you. In fact, I honor one. I honor a grave that Jesus dug and buried that junk into. By the way, that wasn't some other man's grave that Jesus happened to have a gift. That was planned by God. That hole was dug. That stone was put there by God. Everything ready for Jesus because Jesus said, okay, Father, I'm taking it all and putting it in there. Amen? You got to believe that or it's not worth anything to you. Number two, he returned sin and the hold on flesh to hell. The old covenant couldn't do that. The chosen people couldn't participate in that. Well, they can. It's their covenant. The new covenant is for them too. I'm not against that. I'm just against the idea that Jesus is not the Messiah. I'm not going to hear it. Not going to hear it. Number three, set the example for what we are to do with sin and flesh. Listen to me. Jesus did it, but he set the example for us to do it. We all ought to dig a hole and put a little lid in the backyard. And every time we're carrying some kind of burden, we just pull that lid up and throw it in. Spiritually, we throw it in, put the lid back down, stand on it. Say, the enemy's under my feet.
Amen.
I don't care what it is, but just something for us to get on top of things. G. By the Spirit and power of God, the Father, resurrection. Now you need to remember, sin went to the grave, but it was not yet destroyed. The enemy went to the grave, but was not yet destroyed. You know how I know that? All of God's chosen people that went to the grave didn't do any good. Enemy was still not defeated. Abraham went to the grave. The enemy wasn't defeated. Moses went to the grave. The enemy wasn't defeated. Noah went to the grave. The enemy wasn't defeated. All of a sudden now, sin was destroyed. Now listen, by the same power, that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead can do what to your mortal bodies? So that thing that was killing you is no longer there. It's destroyed. See, people that have tumors removed, they don't go back every day and check and see if the tumor's back because they know it's removed. You cut a finger off, you don't go looking every day to see if the finger's back. You know it's gone. Resurrection, that power that raised Christ Jesus. By the way, remember, Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. It's very important. It may be a technical thing, but you need to remember, Jesus did not raise himself from the dead. A power from heaven came and pulled him out of the grave, out of sin, away from the enemy. And if that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you got it? Sin was destroyed. Two, dominion was restored. Because no longer is flesh walking on dirt. Spirit feet are ruling and reigning. If you receive Him, if you receive Him in His death, burial, and resurrection, you got to take all of Him. You can't take parts. Number three, the second Adam restored the first Adam to fellowship with God. I never thought about it that way before. It wasn't just from Adam till Jesus. It was Adam totally. See, we're still from the seed of Adam. So the second Adam came and restored the first Adam to where we're supposed to be. Come on. Come on. I may be carrying some seed of Adam, but not the dirty seed, the clean seed. Because the second Adam washed away the dirt from the first Adam. Seed. I could stay there a while. Four, purity was returned, along with the enemies being destroyed. See, if the enemy had any power, he would have taken advantage of it right there in that tomb. That was what that whole plan was. They rolled that stone there and sealed it and said, nobody can touch this. Why? Because this was the Antichrist talking. God says, not only can I touch the stone. Don't you love it when God just goes, the man and the enemy? He said, it's my stone. Don't tell me what I can touch and I can't touch. And he just went over and said, move, stone. In fact, I don't even think he did it. I think he sent messengers just so we'd understand he don't even have to do that. We can do it. Now, we studied about Lazarus the other day coming out of the tomb wrapped in clothes. Jesus wasn't wrapped in clothes. He wasn't wrapped in any bondage or binding. Remember? Every bondage and binding was destroyed in that resurrection. Everything. Everything. Not those things you think might be hard. Everything. Five. Those that chose to be chosen, those that choose to be chosen, all that choose to be chosen, walk with God in the cool of the day now.
Praise God.
Number six, the earth is now returned to its rightful keepers. Why? Why? Because you see, Jesus, you need to remember this, Jesus didn't leave sin in the grave. He didn't leave it in that hole. You walk in that hole right now and sin's not there. He got up out of that grave and returned sin back to hell. You hearing me? That's what it says. The Bible says he went to Hades. He went to hell. He took it back. That's where I got the theory about Jason that time when he got warts on his hands. Let's put him on the devil's nose. Kiddos, I want you to get this picture. We're going to go put the warts on the devil's nose. Excited them. Well, you need to get excited now. Jesus took that, your sin, your sickness, your disease, and placed it on the body of Satan, not the body of Christ. Took it from the body of Satan, the body of Christ, and delivered it, special delivery, to the body of Satan. Do you understand how warped this character must look? Smells ugly. Oh, man. He can come as an angel of light, but that doesn't mean that's what he looks like. That's a little thing that he puts on trying to trick you. Seven, the eternal walk of death is replaced with the eternal walk of life and abundance. I don't want to be a chosen people that walk in eternal death. I want to be the chosen people that walk in eternal life. In other words, heaven is now, not to come. Eight, all we, or all that want God, must do is this. A, we're going to recognize and accept Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of man, the only way to God in heaven, the new covenant to supersede the old. Doesn't do away with, it just layers a better layer on it. The only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only Lord, the only King. No more sin or sensual behavior. Listen, tell your friends, Jesus doesn't want sensual behavior. Drama is not Jesus. It may emphasize, it may bring to a point. Praise God for those that want to put on passion plays and all those things. As long as it tells you that Jesus is Lord, we're okay. But Jesus isn't into drama. I promise you, if you go to Jesus, if you go to God the Father, He ain't going to put on a play for you. He's not going to weep tears for you. He's going to talk to you a lot like I'm talking to you right now. Jesus said, come let us reason together. He didn't say, come let us dance together. He said, come let us reason together. Now, I know I'm weird. I know that. That's okay. But I don't need a play to turn me on. Oh, Harrison Ford said in 6 days, 7 nights, beautiful statement. He said, he was mocking something, the 10 ways to turn your husband on or something. It's a woman's magazine. And he laughed. He said, You know how you turn a man on? You show up. So, brides of Christ, you know how do you turn Jesus on? You show up. You just show up. He already loves you. He already thinks you smell good and look good. You just show up. And he gets turned on, you get turned on, and it just is a turned on situation. Number 7, as Jesus, our rabbi, our only desire is to please God. Isn't that what he taught us? Okay. And B, live life as eternal, not sensual. That's what we are required to do. We no longer live from sacrifice to sacrifice, hoping the sacrifice is good enough to cover up the sin we just committed. Did you get that one? Your Bible study is not going to cover up the sin you just committed. Not even your fantastic prayer life is going to do that. If you're actually in Christ Jesus, in the life of Christ, you are absorbing sin and sin, a sin of sin. Missing the mark is going to get less and less and less and less. Until it's not even an option to you. We're going to come out good. I'm surprised. Now I'm going to read these scriptures to you. It's the only ones I'm going to read to you, and I put them in there so you'd read them with me. In Matthew 11, 26 and 27. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Now that's just a real complicated way of saying you ain't going to know me and you're not going to know the Father unless you admit that I am the Messiah. Now if you think in the Old Testament they didn't know the Father well, and you've got to understand, the people of God did not know the Father worth a hoot. You've got to understand they didn't have a relationship with God. Come on. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you? Would you have done some of the things they did, knowing now what you know? You couldn't have done what they did and have a relationship with God. So even in the Old Testament, there was no relationship because there was no Son. The New Testament, the New Covenant, you can not only know me, you can know the Father. In fact, you ain't going to know the Father unless you know me. All right, John 8, 37-47. Oh, my goodness. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Now, we're talking about the chosen people. They did. The reason they acted so stupid is because their fathers were so stupid. And God's not stupid, right? So their father must not have been God. They must have been leading, being led by something of God, but their father wasn't God. Isn't that amazing? Come on, listen to me. Don't disagree with me. Just absorb this for a second. The chosen people in the Old Testament, their father was not God. Their father was Abraham. That was by their own admission. That's why they didn't look like God. They didn't smell like God. They didn't act like Him. God the Father came along and said, look, I'm going to show you something. This is how easy it is to get you born again. Whap, there's Jesus. Excuse my, I'm not trying to be religious here. I'm trying to be authentic. God said, let me show you how easy I can get you born again. Boom. Oh, Mary, you're pregnant with Jesus. Now, would anybody else in here like to be pregnant? This is the spirit realm now. Let's go on. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. God is saying back to them, you ain't even that. You understand that? Abraham was serious about me. You're not. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Why? Because Abraham, even Abraham, didn't have a close relationship with the Father. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Now here's the theory of the chosen people. We weren't born into sin. Couldn't be any sinning of us. We were born of somebody without sin. Now listen, they had a hint of things to come. They didn't have the truth, but they had a hint of things to come. Unfortunately, they're still trying to live in this. It's called, we have a contract with God. No matter how much we lie, cheat, or steal, that's why it's great to be a Jew, because I can lie, cheat, and steal, still make money, and still make it to heaven. Well, that's not what God says, and don't believe it. If a guy lies, his father's Satan. That's the biblical definition, and you need to understand it. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Now, the next time you're talking to the Jewish community or those that idolize the Jewish community, what are you going to say to them? Are you bold enough to say what Jesus says? If God were your father, you would love Jesus. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. If you are not born of Jesus, you cannot understand the word. It explains the Old Testament tremendously. I don't care how much their rabbis study. I don't care if they write it in little words all over their bodies. They'll never understand it. That's why they don't understand Jesus. 44, you are of your father the devil. Oh my goodness, that's not in there, is it? My goodness. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do, which is kill me. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Well, I don't know. I just know that I heard the Jewish community, the chosen people, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And the sinners were saying, I find no fault in him. I get angry when I think about this. And nobody going to ever talk to me again as holier than thou. I promise you that. I will remind them that they stood at the foot of God incarnate in Jesus Christ and said, crucify him. That's how smart you were. I don't want you to be teach me squat. Am I getting a little too bold here? Just need to get angry. This is my hero. This is my Lord. This is my Savior they're talking about. They say he doesn't exist. They're liars. I don't think you're going to take this tape at all. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? The answer, he who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. All right, you're going to have to choose whether you believe the New Testament or you don't believe the New Testament. And if you do believe the New Testament, you've got to speak like the New Testament speaks, which is Jesus Christ spoke this. I read to you again a while ago. I'm going to read it to you again. 1 John 2:21 through 25. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. Therefore, let that abide in you. Take this and smoke it, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Isn't that amazing? The New Testament teacher, the rabbi Jesus Christ, is saying, if you ever believed the word of truth in the Old Testament, you'd know what I'm saying to be true. Why? Because the Old Testament spends most of its time talking about Jesus. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. What's that mean? You don't take this promise, you don't get eternal life. Listen, we should sympathize with those that believe they've arrived. If anybody thinks that they've already arrived, we need to sympathize with them because they don't have eternal life. I don't care what they think their covenant speaks. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it to you. The last one, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The simplest scripture in the entire Bible about those that resist Jesus. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Do you understand? Even if I had a written contract signed in the hand of God, I couldn't come and place that petition in front of God without first acknowledging that Jesus is Lord.
Right.
Now, I just made a brilliant statement. You need to remember it. I don't care if there's a chosen people that have a written covenant signed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the hand of God. If they don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord, they can't even place that petition before God. Because Jesus is the advocate. The Father is the judge. Do you know the Bible says that? In legal terms, Jesus is the lawyer. God is the judge. You don't go up and place your petitions before the judge without getting an advocate. Come on, y'all live in this world. You know, even our legal system is based on that. Have I gone over y'all? Seem like y'all already checked out or something. The reason I titled this just practical, it's just practical stuff. Applying this knowledge that we have, let's just apply it to not only our own lives, that because Jesus' death, burial, resurrection set us free, replaced us back into Eden, we now have words against the enemy that wants to come kill, steal, and destroy, which has no power. It's a roaring lion with no teeth. I can't tell you how many Christians just run off because they hear a roar. Once again, my little granddaughters, Haley was walking around the corner, and I went, ah! She goes, wow! Takes off. This is me, Haley. What are you running from me for? I can hear God saying that. If God ever got excited and went, praise the Lord, we'd all run off. We wouldn't say, yeah! There is no enemy left. It's destroyed. The resurrection took care of that. There is no chosen people except unless it includes us. There is a chosen people, everybody that's been birthed by God through Jesus Christ. That's the chosen people now. There is no other chosen people. There's no power given to anybody else. It's all ours. Because everything's done in the name of Jesus. It's not done in the name of the old covenant. There's nothing in the Bible that gives power in the old covenant to you. You hear me? Nothing. So I just go back then. I'm going to rake up all the promises of God in the old covenant. I'm going to kick out the 10,000 that man wrote. I remember 10. Y'all remember 10? And then all what God said was filtered through the 10 commandments. Then Jesus came along and said, you know that old covenant? We're going to make it better. We're going to make it better. I'm going to do it for you. You can't do it. You got too much sin in you. I'm going to go ahead and do it now. I'm going to write it down and I'm going to show you now, and then I'm going to go process it. Death, burial, resurrection. You know what that did? That once again took the hand of God, the signet, the ring that God wears, and he wrote the new covenant, and he reached over and he stamped it. This time it's bulletproof. Do you understand it's bulletproof? The covenant can't be broken. There's never again going to come sacrifices that you've got to pay because you break the covenant. Can't be broken. Well, what are you saying, Stan? I can't say. I didn't say that. I said you can leave the covenant, but you can't destroy the covenant. Everybody in the world can leave the covenant, but the covenant can't be weakened in any way.
Praise God.
It's bulletproof. Bulletproof. Jesus sealed it with his blood. Actually, God sealed it with Jesus' blood. You hear me? God sealed it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that means you're sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're sealed with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are sealed. Nothing, no man can pull you out of the hand of God. Only you. You're the only one who can jump out. You hear me? It's totally up to you. The devil does not have a vote. Please, Gene, everybody else in here, the devil does not have a vote. Therefore, sin does not have a vote. Only you. Sin will not pluck you from the hand of God, only you can. Ain't no sin going to come along and jump on you and say, "Now I got you." Uh-uh. Conscious decision. Conscious decision. It's the only thing that matters. Praise God. Now you know why I got excited about that first song that was sung. Now that's, by the way, that was me excited. That's me excited. There's a difference between angry and excited. I've been angry, you can tell that. But you can't much tell when I'm excited. Because it's a thought process that rules. If I praise God about anything, I praise God that His thought processes rule and reign in me. I want to tell you something. When I see what I see today in this, if y'all don't see it, I'm sorry, but when I see that, it's not a matter of seeing physically. I watched that movie Ray last night, and in that movie he said, "You hear that hummingbird over there?" "No." "Well, it's there. Whether you hear it or not, it's there." That one, his wife said, "You have another lover than me. It's not your concubines. It's not your children. It's not even the drugs you're taking. It's your music." Why? Because music is feeling. It grabs you. That's the way God is. God is not sensual. He just grabs you. It's like reaches right up in here, in your heart of hearts, and He grabs a hold of you. And when you try to get away, it's an anchor that's tugging at your heart. It's not. He's not doing this. You're trying to pull away. He's got you. Sometimes I think that's what He does over me. He doesn't sit there and rejoice. He just kind of laughs saying, I got you. That's fine. That's the way I pray. That's what I want. I've prayed before, "God, if I stray in any way, knock me down. Don't put up with that mess. That's my desire." When I told my dad up there on the hill one time, "Dad, I get up in the morning longing for the chastisement of God. I'm excited about that." He thought I was crazy. Nobody wants to get whipped. Uh-huh. I do. I've never been hurt by God. Right? Anybody been hurt by God? So that kind of chastisement I can take. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Word of God is open to everybody. Don't mind being chastised. What is chastisement? All that is you can't do it that way, you've got to do it this way. That's all it is. He uses different methods, different ways, thought processes, whatever. But He just tells you, you can't do that, you've got to do that. That's what He's saying to us this morning. Forget the Old Testament. Don't forget it, but don't try to rely on the Old Testament except for hearing my truth about the New Testament. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Anybody that comes to you with a different story, they're Antichrist. What's the story? You're born again. History's been erased. Eden's been restored. Eden has been restored. Fellowshipping with God in the cool of day is restored. Enemy has been destroyed. That's the truth. You've got to get a hold of this. If you don't get a hold of it, you can't walk in the new covenant. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's sing that. Let's sing that one song again. The one that I finally found the pages to. By the way, if anybody in this place doesn't know Jesus Christ in the way that I just accepted Him, I described Him, you need to get out here in the front and get on your knees or weep or whatever, because there's an opportunity to you and you need to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
The rest of us are going to praise. That's a bridge. Okay, I got it. Bridge. One of those musical technical terms. This is available to us right now. Praise the Lord.
There's a place where the strength shines with the glory.
Hallelujah.
Of the Lamb. There's a way we can go there. We can live there beyond time.
Praise the Lord.
Because
Hallelujah.
Of you.
Because of you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Because of you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
because of your love, because of your blood. No more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering.
Hallelujah.
No more tears.
Praise you, Jesus.
No more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, no more death, because of you.
Hallelujah.
Because of you,
thank you, Jesus.
Because of your love, because of your blood, all our sins are washed away.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And we can live forever. Now we have this hope because of you. Because of you.
Praise you, Lord.
There is joy everlasting.
There is gladness.
There is peace.
For now.
There is wine ever flowing. There's a wedding.
Hallelujah.
There's a feast.
Praise you,
because
Lord.
Of you. Because of you.
Because
of your love. Because of your blood,
thank you, Jesus.
All our sins are washed away, and we can live forever. Now we have this hope because of you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Oh, we'll see you face to face, and we will dance together in the city of our God. Because of you.
Praise the Lord.
All our sins are washed away. And we can live forever. Now we have this hope. Because of you. Oh, we'll see you face to face. And we will dance together in the city of our God. Because of you.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
There's a place where the streets shine with the glory.
Hallelujah.
Of the Lamb.
Yes.
There's
here
a way.
Now. Thank you, Lord.
We can go there. We can live there beyond time. Because of you.
Because of you. Thank you, Jesus.
Because of your love. Because of your blood, all our sins are washed away, and we can live forever. Now we have this hope because of you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we'll see you face to face, and we will dance together in the city of our God. Because of you.
Praise you, Lord.
Because of you.
Yes.
Because of you.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. With the message that God gave me this morning, I had a very difficult time singing that song this morning. I didn't want to sing. I'd like to just stop and not even preach the message. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the promise of God.
Yes.
There's nothing like Jesus Christ.
Right.
Nothing like the Father. We need to idolize Him. We need to worship. We need to glory in His glory. We need to stand bold and strong in our covenants with Him. Lord, cause us to do that through this message today, through the songs that we sang, through the words that we heard. I want to tell you, Lord, I'm greatly encouraged through this message. Greatly encouraged. I thank you that it wasn't a message. It was life to me. It was life to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank Him today, right now, for the life that He's putting in you. The encouragement, the zeal. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you and worship you. Thank you for your death. Thank you for your burial. Thank you most of all for your resurrection. Thank you, Father, for the plan that brought all this together. Thank you that the plan was to redeem yours. And that we are yours, therefore we are redeemed. Hallelujah. We owe no man anything but love. We speak the truth. We walk in truth. We walk as our hero walked, as Jesus Christ walked, without sin, Lord. And if that's not yet true, make it so in our lives, Lord. Do whatever it takes to make it so. We love you, Lord. We ask you now that as we walk out of this place, that the words that you spoke today resonate, they ring, yes, they reverberate in our heads, in our minds, in our hearts. And they're not something that's so much convicting, but directing. Let it direct and encourage in the direction. We love you, Lord. We seal these to our hearts. Let none of it be stolen by the enemy. Let none of it fall on thorny or hard ground, but fall into a good heart, so that we find more good hearts and spread the word. All of this for your honor and for glory, your glory, do we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.